sin. As common as it is, it's just not normal. By that I mean God's intention is not for you and me to continue being robbed of the abundant life that Jesus came to give us by the consequences of our sin. Because Jesus came to set us free. But how do we get freedom from that one stubborn, persistent sin that just keeps coming back again and again to ruin our lives? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome to A Different Perspective. Have you ever noticed that when it comes to those stubborn, persistent sins in our lives, you know, the ones that come back again and again and again through patterns of destructive behaviour that try as we may, we just can't seem to overcome. Have you ever noticed that we can be chugging along okay, living in victory for a week or two or maybe even a month or two, and then all of a sudden, wham, that sin comes back and pounds us like a battering ram. It pounds the living daylights out of us. Have you ever wondered why that is? Why these ebbs and flows? Why is it that sometimes I can live in victory over this sin and other times I feel completely and utterly powerless to do anything at all to overcome this destructive pattern of behaviour that God calls sin? Well, here's my take on it. No. It's not my take at all. It's God's take. It's God's truth. It's what God's word says. We live on a spiritual battlefield, and our enemy, the devil, is always prowling around, waiting for a good time to strike. He did that even with Jesus. After Jesus resisted the devil's temptations out there in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, Luke tells us in chapter 4 of his gospel, verse 13, that when the devil had finished testing Jesus, he, the devil, departed to wait for a more opportune time. So here we have this picture of the devil prowling around, looking for someone to devour. He has the element of surprise. And that's why we feel powerless when he strikes. Well, today and over the next few weeks, we're going to take an intensely practical look at how to be ready for him. We all have an Achilles heel, a part of our makeup, part of our personality or who we are that's more vulnerable to attack than others. I was telling you the other day on the program of a man who was struggling with his temper. For some people, it's their sexuality. For others, it's pride or they're addicted to money or recognition. We all have something where we're vulnerable. And we all have times where we're more vulnerable than others. Sometimes we've learned to exercise self-control over, let's say, it's our temper. But then when the pressure's on, when we're tired and circumstances seem to conspire to make a snap. So it doesn't matter what our particular weak point is. There are times when we feel stronger and times when we feel weaker. There are times also where we feel completely tossed around and completely vulnerable and like we have no strength at all to resist the prowling devil who is just sitting back waiting like a lion in the grass to pounce and attack when we're feeling weak. Now, what I'm about to say may sound completely perverse. In fact, if we judge it by the world's wisdom, actually it is. God's wisdom often seems perverse by the world's standards. But have a listen now to God's wisdom about our weakness. It was written by the Apostle Paul in the first century AD, and it's found in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. Paul writes, "To keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me.'" Now, we never discover what the thorn in his flesh is. Is it a physical ailment? Is it a particular temptation to which he's prone? We're not told. The way I read this, and let me stress this, this is just me, I believe that it's far more likely that Paul is talking here about a spiritual ailment than a physical one. This term flesh is used not only to talk about the physical body by Paul, but also about our human nature, our soul. And so, if this is a messenger from Satan, the way I read it is that Satan's doing something painful in Paul's soul. But whatever the specifics are, the Holy Spirit in his wisdom hasn't told us. What we do know is that this messenger from Satan is tormenting Paul. Now, you and I, we would immediately think to ourselves, wow, a messenger from Satan, it's tormenting Paul. Obviously, God would be in a powerful hurry to deal with that. After all, Paul's the guy who's been called to write almost half the books in the New Testament. After all, this messenger is from Satan, this thorn in his flesh. This is really knocking Paul around. It's tormenting him. Surely God wants to deal with that. Surely God wants to answer Paul's prayer here. It's a good prayer. And if Satan was tormenting me, I would be wanting. Actually, I would be expecting God to deal with his pronto. But God doesn't take this torment away, because God, it appears, is quite content with Paul's weakness in this situation. He doesn't want Paul to be strong in and of himself, but instead, he wants Paul to experience the real thing, God's perfect power amidst his own weaknesses. And so that completely changes everything for Paul. Instead of being ashamed of his weakness now, he says, look, I'm going to boast all the more gladly of it so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Now, just as an aside, will you please notice with me how the sovereignty of God shines out here? Even Satan is subject to God's will. Satan's torment is being used by God as a tool for God's glory. Let's never, ever start imagining that God and Satan are somehow these two equal and opposite forces of good and evil. Nothing could be further from the truth. Right here, God is using Paul's torment for his glory. Right here, just as Paul writes elsewhere in Romans 8, chapter 28, all things are actually working together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So, back to the point I was making. Here's the crunch. Anyone who's tried and tried and tried to be strong to overcome stubborn sin will know that working hard at it doesn't work. But it's in our weaknesses that we have the opportunity to discover the good and perfect and awesome power of God to achieve that which we can't, to achieve victory over stubborn sin and to achieve victory over Satan. My friend, this is fantastic news. This is liberating news, the opportunity to give up trying and instead to tap into a power that works, a divine power. Have a listen again to Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 5. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Paul's saying that we're living on a battlefield, and instead of using just human weapons, we actually have God's divine power to destroy strongholds. And the strongholds that Paul is specifically talking about here are things in the hearts and the minds and the souls of Christians that set themselves up as strongholds against a knowledge of God. We can't let go of those things, and that's precisely why God gives us weapons with divine power to overcome our sin. You know what a stronghold is? It's something we hang on to real strong, and we can't seem to let go of it. We can't let go of stubborn sin in our own strength. We can't break those strongholds with weapons that are merely human. We need divine power. And right here, right in the middle of our weaknesses, is where God wants to give us his divine power. And over the next couple of days and next few weeks, we're going to look at how to use that wonderful, powerful, divine power to eliminate stubborn sin in our lives once and for all. Now, that's what this series of messages is all about, eliminating stubborn sin once and for all. That sin that we thought we just have to live with for the rest of our lives. It is seriously time to give up struggling with stubborn sin and rely on the awesome power of the living God. Now, if you missed any of these messages in the series, you can listen to them again online at ChristianityWorks.com. Just click on the A Different Perspective icon at the bottom of the homepage. And I trust that today's message has been a real blessing to you, because something happens when we take a look at life, real things that we deal with day after day, from a different perspective. It opens up a whole new world of possibilities, and maybe that's just what God had planned for you today. For anyone who's wallowing in the guilt and defeat of stubborn sin, it can be hard to accept, but today I encourage you to rejoice in and boast in your weakness, because the divine power of God is in that place. I'm Bernie Diamond. It's been great to have this time together. Let's catch up again tomorrow, same time, as we take another look at overcoming stubborn sin from a different perspective.